Hola y gracias por estar de nuevo con nosotros en un interesante programa esta vez.
Hello and thanks for joining us. And this time we'd like to talk about religion and joy, happiness. What's the relation between these two? Thanks for being with us, Dr. Lightman.
Hello.
And let's start with the following research done by Pew Research in the United States. This survey. The research says that people that participate or participating members of religious congregations report higher levels of happiness. Why? Undoubtedly, a person who believes that there is reward and punishment if he suffers, then certainly he'll get something as a reward or something in return, some kind of compensation. And those people that hurt him, they'll be punished. And so he believes that the upper force is whole and complete and just. And therefore, he'll always be able to balance out the good and the bad and the good, and therefore he lives in a more balanced world. And to the extent to which, even if he's not so good to others, but he tries to keep himself, and so he thinks that every wicked will get his share and the upper force will pay all the righteous, and therefore he deserves good and all of his enemies and haters deserve bad, and as a result his life becomes good and nice. Why does he not deserve heaven? He does. He's not that bad that he won't go into heaven. So he lives good, relatively good in this world, and lives good, has a good life, is well off in the next world, and for any good or bad thing, the calculation is to his benefit. A good life, is it true or not? That's a question. But really? You can be envious of such people, the dream that they're living. If so, the result does not surprise you. For example, this research shows that Mexico is the happiest country, and those that are active in different religious congregations or affiliated, they're much happier than those that aren't. How could you explain this? You know Mexico. Yeah, I'm familiar with Mexico. I went to many places. I met many people. I went to different festivals, congresses of different kinds, assemblies. I'd put it this way. First of all, religion is not called opium for the masses in vain. It's not just so called opium for the masses. It puts people to sleep, gives them a good and nice solution for this life, and if not in this world, then for the next world. And we feel it from all the different researchers. And this is something that you can't exclude, because the most developed person, philosopher, scientist, still deep inside, he believes that there is a different calculation than the one that we see in this world, because eventually everything comes to an end. You die for sure. Is there nothing after death? Or is there something? A person's protective force does not allow him to say that there's nothing. No matter how much the Bolsheviks in Russia, for example, or in other places, the socialists really wanted to burn religion altogether, they couldn't do anything. Because a person always faces death, and he needs some kind of compensation, some kind of justification for why do we die? And religion gives an answer. And therefore these people, they're more protected, they're happier, they're calmer, and it's good to give an ordinary person at least this kind of hope. Why suffer? He lives without, as if any reason, without any answers. So at least for him to have some kind of tranquilizer. What's interesting in this research is that there are five countries in the first 10 places of the happiest countries. Five of them are countries in Latin America. These are countries that you were to. For example, we have Mexico, Colombia, Ecuador, Uruguay, and Brazil. Is there any difference between these countries? Did you see maybe some kind of common denominator that justifies these results, that these are the, as if, happiest countries? That on the one hand are religious countries, and on the other hand are very happy. This is South American mentality. I'm talking about the local population, authentic local population, that they really have a good, nice attitude toward life. They're joyous by nature. They're similar to the Jews that came from Arab countries here in Israel until they were corrupted by the Ashkenazians, the Sephardics. It's kind of similar to that as they used to be. We can say that the South American character does suit religion, and it's good that they have this, and it's something that really mitigates their life. I really love this people and think that it's to their benefit. And later, bit by bit, they'll grow wiser, and they'll be able to demand a bit more than just to believe, but also to reveal the upper mechanism somewhat, the system of the upper governance, the way it controls them, the upper mechanism, and they'll want not only to believe, but also to get to know him or it, and they'll come to the wisdom of Kabbalah. I'm waiting for that too. What do you see especially about South America, that they have this culture that you're mentioning, that maybe it's easier for them to be a part of religion, or in this case, also regarding the wisdom of Kabbalah? They're more straightforward, I'd say more open. They're looking for support in life. And once they discover that religion itself does not give them sufficient support, they'll move on to the wisdom of Kabbalah and will discover that here there's really facts, attainments, and the recognition of the upper force one-on-one. Meaning they can continue with their beliefs, with their religion. They don't have to abandon it just as Kabbalah. They don't have to abandon anything. They can continue this way and get to know the upper force and add him to their religion. Like Bala Sulam says in the writings of the last generation, that besides the system of relations between them that they build, and that in this connection they'll discover the upper force as the connecting force, the force that reveals himself in this connection. Besides that, each nation can remain in its religion. If so, what does Kabbalah add to a person? Kabbalah adds to a person that by their connection, by their relation, they can discover the essence of the connection, which is the upper force that sustains all of nature together, and this way controls all of reality, including mankind, including all the worlds, including everything, not only our world. And so to get to know this force, understand them, and accordingly to perform all of our actions, our entire life, to arrange everything according to him in order to be in partnership with the upper force. This is actually the purpose of the wisdom of Kabbalah. This is what it adds, meaning religion gives us belief. The wisdom of Kabbalah gives us knowledge, perception. Does it also help interpret the ancient writings? Of course. Then we can read all the Torah, the Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, Teilim, Psalms, the entire world uses it. We can exactly understand what it is to talk about there. It's not a random connection, but there's a spiritual root behind every story. Then we open these books and we see what, suppose, King David, King Solomon, all the prophets meant, what Moses said, Aaron, Abraham, the way they talk to the people and to everyone, how they turn to everyone. From that we can better understand the general philosophy from Greece and until our times. We can understand the depth of nature, why are things built the way they are and interconnected. Then before us opens up an entire world. You personally went through a, you were a seeker. You went through science, then you looked for answers in religion. What did Kabbalah give you that you did not attain in this process that you led up to up until then? The wisdom of Kabbalah allowed me to feel the root. Through it, I got to know the general reality and the extent to which this reality is global, and how the global force somehow encompasses all of reality and controls everything from the smallest to the biggest detail, the general system, and it's all based on the force of love, the force of mutuality, reciprocity, that each detail takes care of all the other details, parts, and all the parts take care of that single part, and no one can take care of himself, like cells in our body, for example. And when we learn this from nature, from the still, from the vegetative, from the animate, the very same way, we have to build such relations between us on the human level, between people, that this is upon us to do. By that, we will become like the upper force. What answer, if so, did you get from Kabbalah that you did not get from religion or science? That our world's global, that the connection between all of its parts is a tight connection, integral connection, that each and every part is related to all the other parts, and that it is impossible to eradicate any part of reality, that we have to correctly relate, think about all parts of reality, that together we have to come to know this entire system, and then we need to think, how do we build such good, nice relations between us so that they will suit the still, vegetative, and the animate, so that just like nature to begin with, without the corruption that man instilled in it, but that nature to begin with is in harmony, so we too will add that harmony to the relations between people. Researchers try to understand what is the root, what is the reason behind these results. It seems that a person's happier because he's connected or related to some religion or community. They don't understand what comes first. Are you first happy and that brings you to be a part of some kind of community? Or is it a result of being a part of community? And there was another study done by Harvard and to find out what came first, and they found out that it's the connection between people. And if so, how does the connection between people, what is it about it that produces this joy? Because we are in a world that's round, where really all of its parts are interconnected and they're all in their place. But we see the world corrupted according to the extent of corruption of each and every one of us. So, to the extent to which I try to see the world that it's round, I come closer to the real world that's already present. only that previously in my vision it was corrupted, and now it's less corrupted. And generally I see it now connected in a good and nice way, and therefore this is how I save myself from a big mistake that the world is destroyed, corrupted, people are bad, evil. Here we're already stumbling upon the concept of anyone who blames others does it because of his own flaws, or to the extent of one's correction, he can see the world corrected, and according to the extent of one's corruption, the other way around, he can see that the world's corrupted. It's all up to man himself. So, if we see that a good or bad world depends on man, depends upon how a person sees the world, then I don't have to wait for anyone here. Today, I can already live in a good world. And I can reach a state where I do not allow my world to deteriorate, for things to be good. And if someone sees that the world's bad, then it's because he's bad and sees that the world's bad. And if I am integrated with other people and they're corrupted or they corrupt the world, I'm also influenced by them. And I have to come out of my boundaries and to start trying to bring them to the true point, that everything is a good and nice correction, and that everyone's in a good and beautiful world. But this is something that we do not achieve on a personal level. It should always be in a group. Right. It's something that you can't attain on your own. There were times where it was attained, but those times are gone. Today, mankind is integral. We see that everyone's interconnected. We have no choice. We have to search for groups, build groups, and through that to build the world. If someone hears this show now, he'll say, I also want to be happy. So it means that I have to be a part of some kind of religious congregation. What do you recommend? I recommend to such people to first of all connect with us, for them to give us for us to be able to give them guidance how to be happy. It's not something immediate. The path is not short, because we're really living in a very confused, threatening, crude world. But it is possible to do this. And therefore, it seems to me that this is the right way to do it, to connect to us. We have many groups, many people in South America, in Spain, a lot of power, and we can help, a lot of strength, and we can help everywhere. Wherever there is a Spanish-speaking person who wants to get to know other people, that want to discover how good the world is, he will be able to find such people through us, and will also reach joy and good. Previously, you said that religion is like some kind of it's like opium for the masses. I said religion. Exactly. Regarding religion, it's like some kind of tranquilizer. Does a person need something like that? To some extent? To some extent, the person needs it until he'll open his eyes and see the real world and the upper force. That's good, the general whole, good upper force that sustains all of reality, and that in this reality, there is no evil. Until this is revealed to a person, he needs some kind of power of faith that sustains him, and therefore religion provides this to a person.
Generalmente las religiones hablan de esto.
Is there no fear of the Creator here? Because religion always says that you need some kind of fear, that if we don't do or we will do something, it's a sin. This doesn't really exist in reality? No. No. A person has to be afraid of himself, of his own nature, of his evil, of his laziness. But there's nothing to fear of the Creator. He's good that does good. He actually can't do anything bad to anyone. If to be afraid, it's only about how we can't do anything good to Him in return. And in what happens in the day-to-day life, we see that there's so many negative things in the world. How is it possible to see the Creator as something good, beneficial, if there are so many negative things happening? The Creator influences the world even more to make the world a better place. And vis-a-vis to that, we discover that we do not agree, we disagree with His good, and therefore we feel that the world is bad. Why do we disagree? Because the Creator, He pulls us to connection between us, and we don't want that. And therefore the world seems bad. But this bad is a result of our stubbornness and us not wanting to connect. And therefore what follows is that really it's hard for us. Things are hard for us in this world, but not because the Creator is corrupting it, but because we're corrupting it. And therefore the more good He adds upon that good, we feel the world as a place that's worse. Because by nature, we become more opposite, opposed to the world. If so, then how to awaken this? How? To teach people, to talk to them, that this is what they have to do. And only. That's the only thing you can do. And how do we awaken, how do we discover this negative view of things that we have? You're saying that we're building the image of the Creator, that we build it. So how together can we create the good picture of reality? The good picture of reality, the good force, the Creator, is something that we can attain if we try to connect between us. If we try to connect between us in 10, suppose, or more people or less people, but suppose that we get together, then in this correct gathering, and the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches us how we can connect correctly, we discover this good force. And this way, we gradually come closer and closer to the upper force for it to become revealed until we start discovering that this is the Creator really between us. This is how we discover Him. But it's on condition that we really want to connect and discover Him. What is the glue that's supposed to be between people? Suppose if it's in a religious community or in some organization that helps others or some group of people that study Kabbalah. Oh, what's the glue? Is it the same glue? Only in order to discover the Creator. In order to discover the good force between us. This is what we need. If we have such a desire and we connect in order to discover it, with the force of good, the good force from the love of the created beings to the love of the Creator, as we say, then we'll succeed. More specifically, what's the difference between a connection in some community and the connection between in a group of students studying Kabbalah? In each and every group, everywhere around the world, there are different, there are many groups, many different groups, and they have a reason for which they connect. Whether it's a group that builds something, that takes care of something, that protects itself from something. To begin with, our organization works in such a way that it wants to give contentment to the Creator, meaning to discover that the Creator is good, to discover the upper force as the connecting force, as the force that keeps us united, connected. And for this, we have to bring ourselves to connection, or to first and foremost start connecting it between us. To the extent to which we're drawn to connection, we start discovering that He's there already. He gave us this desire to connect, and He brought us closer. This research, what it shows is that people that are related to some, affiliated with some religion, they're healthier, they have better habits, they participate in civil society more. 97% of the people avoid drinking, alcohol, much alcohol, and they're more active, they're more active members of society. They have a compensation, something that calms them down. They have hope. They all the time have a justification for everything that happens. They live in a much calmer world. And there's always something that holds them, that doesn't allow them to fall. And there's a different connection between the parents, the children, spouses, and so on. The world is much better than among secular people. But is it enough for a person to advance? No, it's not. The thing is that in our times, many people disconnect from religion already. They don't feel that religion satisfies them. And it's because the world's now reaching a state where instead of just saying about the Creator that He exists and that He's good and He's nice, we've reached such a state, such a development, where we have to discover Him in practice. And for Him to be felt between us, that He is the one establishing our relations, for us to feel Him in the field as something alive, as some kind of a different physical force that we feel. And then this way, when we'll discover this, then we'll be able to further develop. Otherwise, our desire, our consciousness, our awareness becomes greater, and the simple force of faith is no longer enough. So we can say that on a certain level of development it was enough, but now we're in a more advanced stage. Yes. And if so, the search, what are we searching for then? What are people searching for if it no longer satisfies them? What's that additional thing? The additional thing that people are searching for is to discover the Creator clearly in our feelings, in our perception, in our intellect, really to be in touch, in contact with Him. And therefore, mankind, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, we're called the last generation, where we have to discover, reveal Him. As it says, know the Creator, your God. To research Him, know Him. And this way we'll achieve the absolute joy. You vouch for it. Me? Whoever attains it does. Whoever doesn't, doesn't. But if a person wants to, everything's open. In conclusion, come, let's create a good, nice connection between us with Upper Force revealing Himself among us. Good luck. I'm waiting for you. All the best.